This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Svetlana Lakova, an historian of Russian state security. Her book, The Spy Who Changed History, How We First Met, to talk about the NKVD at the behest of Joseph Stalin, the General Secretary of the Communist Party in the late 1920s and early 1930s, dispatching trusted members of the revolution to America as students, MIT and other distinguished universities. Why? To transfer intellectual property. That's the way we say it today. In those days, they would have said steal secrets from the budding aeronautics business in America. Steal secrets from everything you can touch. That was then. This is now. Svetlana's here to comment on how she has been entangled without any wish on her part in an elaborate espionage, sabotage, provocateurs, and claims that are unresolved that we all call Russiagate. Svetlana, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. The story so far is impossible to summarize, so let's get right to John Durham. John Durham is a special counsel charged with clarifying and elucidating Russiagate after all these years. He's been working at it since he was appointed by Bill Barr, the attorney general in the Trump administration, and he continues to work. That's why this Durham report is necessary. Where is the Durham investigation? What we know now is that Durham has recently moved two indictments against two individuals who are at the edges of Russiagate. The first individual is a man named Sussman, an attorney for a law firm in Washington associated with the Democratic Party and in particular with Hillary Clinton's campaign of 2016. The second indictment, most recently, a man named Danchenko, a Russian national. Svetlana, I turn to these two recent indictments. What we know is are documents that have been published, linked to by the major publications, Washington Post, New York Times, Wall Street Journal. In here is a story that is farcical on the face of it. People telling lies to each other and then lying to the FBI and other investigative bodies after they're caught lying to Christopher Steele. Now, I'm going to characterize all this as bearing false witness. It's an old-fashioned way of talking about it. It's much less conclusive. Bearing false witness. I would like to remind everybody that you are entangled in this at the edges of Russiagate because another person working with the FBI, his name is Halper, bore false witness against you, beginning with a dinner party that he made claims about in the winter of 2014 and continuing for many years. False witness is extremely dangerous when you're talking to a state security operation. And in this instance, John Durham has brought forth statement after statement to show that the false witnesses were meant to do harm. In this case, meant to undermine credibility in the democratic process in 2016 and afterwards, continuing into the administration of Donald Trump 2017, 18, 19, and 20. Continuing today because the controversy remains dividing Americans. You're reading this as an historian, a scholar, and also someone caught up in people bearing false witness against you. Not just Halper, but others who have been involved in these practices over these years. So what is your opinion of what we know so far about the Sussman indictment and the Danchenko indictment? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Thank you for having me on. Good evening, John. I think the main thing to say that I think we can sort of breathe a collective sigh of relief that finally we're seeing justice and justice with our own eyes in real time. Now, for the last 4 to 5 years, we've all been fed lie after lie by some congressmen, by some people within the intelligence community, and the relentless media coverage where every day, wherever you go, you're being told that the President of the United States was actually a Kremlin candidate and the Republican Party were full of traitors. And basically, the people who are, you Americans elected to be your president and his team were all traitors. They were all installed by foreign power. And we were told that day after day. Now, I knew very early on that this was not true because I was one of the people who was supposed to be the Russian intelligence operative who compromised, seduced Trump's national security advisor in order to compromise him on behalf of Russian intelligence and make him work for Russian intelligence. I knew that didn't happen. I didn't do those things, and I'm not that person. Therefore, I then realized very early on that the rest of the story, therefore, is a lie. But not many other people had the unfortunate advantage that I had to know the truth early on. So they were being fed by all of our media day after day, both in the United States and the UK and around the world, this lies day after day, which poisoned people's minds, which made people suspect that, the person they elected is a traitor. And that's a horrible, horrible thing to do to the country. And then it's, of course, a horrible thing to do to the individuals, like myself and others who are falsely accused, to the businesses. And that's something that, for a very long time, we've been waiting for justice, and slowly but surely it's happening. Now, specifically with regards to the Durham indictments, we also need to consider that for a long time, we were promised something called the Durham Report. So this was going to be the report that people can read for themselves and find out the true story of what happened, as opposed to the fake narrative that we were being fed by the news and by some bad guys in the intelligence community. And there's been a very long, delay and argument over the, when if this report is coming out. But I think not many people are realizing that because the media is blocking that from public knowledge, that the indictments, in the Durham investigation are so-called speaking indictments, meaning that whilst they're focusing on the specific charges, being brought against specific individuals, and that would be like 1 to 2 pages, but the rest of them, we're talking about 60 pages at the moment, and then there will be further documents, that have been declassified and will be released into the public sphere. So about 60 pages are telling the correct story of what appears to be a plan by the Clinton campaign and people who assisted them and people in the intelligence community to, first of all, prevent Donald Trump from winning a democratically held election. And after he, despite all of this, he won, to try and take him out.
What we have then is Durham making steps, small steps, towards the revelations that we anticipate are ahead of us. There has been this long delay since the election of 2020, and the Durham office, the Durham investigation moving forward. It was easy to become frustrated and believe it was not going to happen. It was easy to believe that Durham in some fashion was going to disappoint. Do you believe at this point that Durham is going forward in a fashion that is understandable? You have a sense of the scale of this that many do not. Is the Durham steps, the Sussman indictment, who pled not guilty, who's pleading not guilty, we believe, and the Danchenko indictment, who's pleading not guilty, we believe. We only know what we're told in the papers. Do you believe those steps are going in the right direction, and is the timing adequate to where we need to go?
Well, I think that I, as the victim of this, but also a lot of people who have been desperate for justice, of course, everyone's very frustrated about the pace. Having said that, this is a criminal investigation. So what Durham has to do, what the special counsel has to do, specifically to the people that he's charging with criminal offenses, is he has to prove to the jury beyond reasonable doubt that people are guilty, right? So of course the first thing, he's not Mueller, right? He's not going to do, midnight raids and newspaper leaks. and charging people with some procedural stuff or charging them for something else and making it look like, you know, he's charging him for this. He's not going to do that, right? He's a genuine prosecutor. So what he's doing is he's only charging people criminally where he knows or his team knows that they can get beyond reasonable doubt, because of course in the US justice system and in the Western system, you're innocent until you're proven guilty. And that's a very, very high burden. And that's why the actual physical sort of indictments of the specific individuals, as narrowly defined, are the ones where the prosecutors presumably know that they will get through that bit, right? They will get through the reasonable doubt. However, people must read beyond just the indictment, so just the charges themselves, through the full indictments, and they're available online. And this is 60 pages of telling, this is why I keep saying it's a speaking indictment, meaning that they're telling us way beyond what they necessarily can and will charge with. It doesn't mean more people won't be charged. They probably will be. But what we also can find out is the true story of the Russia hoax. And I think it will be very useful just at this point, just to, because there's so many names and so many characters involved, just to quickly remind your listeners as to who is who. So we have, obviously, candidate Hillary Clinton, and she's against Donald Trump in 2016. She hires a law firm called Perkins Coie to basically be almost like a buffer between herself and the dirty operatives who are going to do, you know, dirty campaign tricks. Now, Hillary Clinton raises over $1.2 billion to win in that campaign. That's a lot of money. And Perkins Coie gets put in charge of those funds. And Perkins Coie, so there are two partners, Mark Ellis, who's mentioned in the indictment, but he's not named, but you can, you know, if you read through that, you can see that. And Michael Sussman. Mark Ellis hires a firm called Fusion GPS, which is a firm of former journalists that are responsible for collecting opposition research or dirt, sometimes true, sometimes fake, on the opposing candidate. And they're also responsible in this case for hiring another firm called Orbis, which is the firm of Christopher Steele. And Christopher Steele is a former MI6 agent who is now like a private guy, but he's using his MI6 credentials to make whatever he comes up with seem credible. And so you can see, you see this link, and that's what the indictment is telling you about, right? You have Hillary Clinton and her advisors, then you have Perkins Coie, then you have Fusion GPS, then you have Orbis. And then Orbis hires Igor Danchenko, who is the guy who's been indicted. So you now can see from those two indictments how both of those individuals, Michael Sussman is a partner in Perkins Coie, and then Igor Danchenko is de facto employee of Hillary Clinton campaign, right? And they create these multiple layers of companies and organizations, which sound confusing, but it's also to avoid detection. Because Perkins Coie as a law firm can hide behind attorney-client privilege. So that is why it took quite a while to get to this point. You know, one of the reasons is the number of organizations involved. But if we strip it all down, both Igor Danchenko, arrested the other day, and Michael Sussman, which is the previous indictment, they both work for Hillary Clinton and for her campaign. And Michael Sussman is a former DOJ guy. So he's very, very senior, very well respected. And he's charged with lying to the FBI about connections between Trump and Russia. Well, he, in fact, specifically is charged with not telling the FBI that he was representing Hillary Clinton when he came to the FBI and say Trump was connected to Russia. But if you read the whole indictment of 27 pages, then you will see that actually people that he hired were trying to manufacture the story about Trump being connected with Russia. And then you have similarity of what's happening with the Danchenko case, which is the guy who was recently arrested, where he again was working for, through three or four intermediaries, for Hillary campaign, again, to manufacture stories or to feed stories, to pass through stories connecting Donald Trump to Russia. So that means we now have two characters, one who is the paymaster, the organizer, and two who is the executor. But what connects them is the fact that both of them were working for Hillary Clinton to, first of all, prevent Trump, Donald Trump from winning the election, and secondly, after he won the election, to try and take him out.
Svetlana Lokova, the historian of Russian state security machinations over the last century, Soviets in particular. She's very familiar with how state security works from the point of view of how did Russia do it, the Soviet Union. And when we come back, I'm going to draw upon Svetlana's learning about how state security functions, because repeatedly through these statements and reports about Danchenko and about Sussman, you see the FBI mentioned again and again as credulous about the misleading statements or clearly false statements or even worse, laughably false statements that they were taking down in order to proceed with their investigation of the Trump campaign and the players around the Trump campaign and then into the Trump administration into 2017. When we come back, how does state security work and the trust we have in state security, is it well-founded? This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.